Three clergy friends are chatting. One is a priest, one is a Pentecostal preacher, and the third is a Jewish rabbi. And of course, like all ministers, when they get together to talk, they end up talking shop. Their discussion centers on whether talking to people about God and converting them is really that hard. They quickly agree that the real challenge would be to preach to a bear, and they decide to experiment. Each would go into the woods, find a bear, and try to convert it. A week later, they all get together to discuss the experience. Father O'Connor, who has his arm in a sling and is on crutches, speaks first. "Well," he says, "I went into the woods and found a bear and began to read to him from the catechism. Unfortunately, the bear wanted nothing to do with me or the catechism and began to slap me around. I quickly grabbed my holy water and, the saints be praised, sprinkled him with it, and he became very subdued. My bishop is coming out next week to give him his first communion and confirmation, too." Reverend Billy, the Pentecostal preacher, speaks next. He's in a wheelchair with an arm and both legs in casts. "Well, brothers, you know that we don't sprinkle, we dunk. I found a bear and began to read to him from God's holy word. But that bear wanted nothing to do with me or God's word. So I took a hold of him and we began to wrestle. Up and down the hills we wrestled until we came to a creek where I quickly dunked him and baptized him. He immediately became very subdued, and we spent 3 days in fellowship praising God on high." They both then looked at their friend, the rabbi, who was lying in a hospital bed, wearing a full body cast, is in traction with an IV going in one arm and monitors for his heart and his brain. The rabbi looks at them, shakes his head, and says, "I suppose circumcision wasn't the best way to begin." That came in an email from one of our fellow church members' friends. It said, "I dare you to use this in a sermon. Never do that to me. I'll figure out a way to make that work. I suppose circumcision wasn't the best way to begin," and he was right. When dealing with a bear, don't take out a bunch of clippers, friends. The New Testament church was in a similar situation. Huh? Yep, it was. In the New Testament church, you had Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. You had those who had been Jews, raised as Jews. The men, when they were little boys, had their bris, were circumcised, entered into the community of the faithful, and were good Jews and could be recognized as such because of their circumcision. They were a member of the covenant community as symbolized by circumcision. And when they became Christians, they were still Jews. But there were those Gentiles where the men weren't circumcised, had never been circumcised, and weren't about to be circumcised. And the conflict in the early church often orbited around the subject of circumcision, the subject of how could you tell a member of the covenant community, and could you demand circumcision? Now, it wasn't just circumcision. It was circumcision and all the things that came with it. circumcision, dietary regulations, the kind of clothing you wore, how you built your house, how you planted your fields. I mean, you couldn't wear clothing with two kinds of thread. No wool and linen together. Or in modern day terms, no wool and polyester blends, friends. It's against the law in the Old Testament. It's a big thou shalt not in Leviticus. If you were a guy, you had to have fringes on your clothing with tassels. And you couldn't mar the edge of your beards. That meant you couldn't even shave it off either, friend. And you women, you women, you had to cook kosher. That meat, no medium rare steaks. And the chickens, you can't wring it. You can't wring that neck like mom, your mother used to do, your grandmother used to do, like you used to do. Couldn't wring the neck of that chicken. He had to chop it off and let it bleed. No cheeseburgers, because that cheese is made from milk, and you don't know that milk didn't come from that cow's mom. No escargot, no catfish, no shrimp, no bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwiches, no ham. Oh, man. Ouch. And women, when you're in your menstrual cycle, you've got to stay away from the men. Ooh. Some tough rules and regulations that you've got to live by if you're going to be a good Jew, not just circumcision. Not just giving up a little bit of flesh for God. But it was the circumcision that caught the guys' attention the most. The cooking stuff, all that's fine and dandy. We like to eat pork, but my goodness gracious, if you're going to cut on me for me to enter the community of God, you can forget it. And that's what the Gentiles said. That's why so few Gentiles became Jews. It was a painful experience. You signed your membership card in your own blood. But Christianity, the call of Jesus, grace and peace, the gospel that Paul preached to his churches in the Gentile world, didn't require these outward expressions of the covenant community like circumcision and like a dietary regulation and like the kind of clothing that you were supposed to wear. And like all these rules dealing with blood and uncleanliness. Now, salvation was by grace, through faith, and Jesus Christ. That deserves an amen, friends.
Amen.
Salvation is by grace, through faith, and Jesus Christ, not works.
Amen.
Indeed. But, and there's always a but in this, but, unfortunately, there were some Jewish Christians who thought that all of that Old Testament stuff, the circumcision, the dietary regulations, the kind of clothing you're supposed to wear, the kind of fields you're supposed to have. I mean, you couldn't plant two different kinds of seed in the same field, friends. No row of beans and a row of potatoes and a row of carrots. You couldn't do that. Oops. Yeah, Old Testament against that, friends. All of that stuff was important to many of these Jewish Christians, people whom Paul called the brethren of James, the brother of the Lord. All that Jewish stuff was important. And they came along following Paul and told the people that Paul converted to Christianity, "Welcome to the church. Welcome to the kingdom of God. Welcome to Christ Jesus. But now, if you've really accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you'll do this for Him." Paul came and he preached the gospel. He preached grace and peace. He preached that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world, and that God's grace is available to all, and that all you have to do is to receive that grace, accept it, proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, repent of your sins, and God will save you, cleanse you, wash you with His blood, and you will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Paul came preaching a message of grace and peace, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then along came these Jewish Christians following Paul and saying, you know, Paul wanted to get you into the church. Paul wanted to convert you. Paul wanted to make Christians of you so that he could use you as evidence of his apostleship. We sent him out to you. We sent him out to you. We taught him everything he knows, and we sent him out to you to preach. And he preached to you about Jesus, and that was good, and I'm glad he preached to you about Jesus, but he left some stuff out because he wanted to try to convert you, and he thought that if he told you men that you had to be circumcised, and if he told you women that you had to start cooking kosher, that you wouldn't want to become a Christian. So he left that stuff out. He wanted your approval. So he left that stuff out. Well, we're here to tell you that if you've really been saved, if you really are a Christian, if you really have Jesus living in your heart, man, you'll give up a little bit for Jesus. A little bit for Jesus. It only hurt for a little bit. Only be a little bit of blood. It's only a little bit of flesh. You'll give it up for Jesus. Man, can I hear a boo? No, I don't want an amen there. Women, if you really have Jesus, if you really believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, women, you're going to change your cooking habits. You're going to change your recipes. No red lobster, no shrimp, no bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwiches, no pork barbecue, none of that stuff, no sausage. Boo! They were serious. They were serious, my friends. They believed. Yes, you got started by being saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, a Gentile could enter into the community of faith by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, you could be saved and not be circumcised. Yes, you could be saved and not have to cook kosher. Yes, you could be saved and not have to be a Jew. But if you really are saved, then you will go in to the community all the way. You'll get circumcised for Jesus. You'll change your diet for Jesus. You'll change your clothing style for Jesus. You'll change how you plant your fields for Jesus. That's what they said. And that is what Paul is addressing here in his letter to the Galatians. Paul, an apostle, sent neither by human commission nor from human authorities, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the members of God's family who are with me. Starting out the bat, at the very top of the letter, in the from line of his letter, he begins by saying, I wasn't sent by the Jerusalem apostles. I wasn't sent by James or the brethren of James. I wasn't sent by Peter. I wasn't sent by John or Matthew or any of the other disciples, whom he will later call pillars in the church. I wasn't sent by the Jerusalem church. I wasn't sent by these Jewish Christians. I was sent by God. Paul, an apostle, sent neither by human commission nor from human authorities, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father. Now, if he's coming from Jesus Christ and God the Father, I want to listen to him. I mean, human authorities are good. I like human authorities. I like Bishop Moncur. Hear that, Bishop? That's so that you'll keep me here. I like human authorities, but you know what? If I have to choose between listening to some human authority, brethren of James, or listening to someone who was sent by God in Jesus Christ our Lord, I want to listen to the one who was sent by God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right. To the churches of Galatia. Now, Galatia is in the middle of Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. Grace to you and peace. Grace, unearned, undeserved favor, love, acceptance, unmerited favor. To you and peace, the end of separation, the end of againstness with God. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, just as I would like to listen to someone who comes from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a message I want to hear. Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, I don't mind having favor and the end of againstness from human authorities and human folk. Hear that, Bishop? I don't mind having grace and peace from you. But if I can have it from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, amen, I'll take it. And Paul starts his letter proclaiming grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to set us free from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. You know what? We could quit right there. If we've got grace and peace from He who died on the cross for our sins to deliver us from this present evil world, what else do we need? We certainly don't need to cut on ourselves in circumcision. We certainly don't need to cut on the kind of diet we have. We certainly don't need to change our clothing styles. We certainly don't need, my friends, to add anything external. If we have grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, the same Lord Jesus Christ who died for our sins to deliver us from this present evil world, we don't need anything else. Amen. I sometimes feel like I need to retrain y'all from time to time. I do need to retrain y'all from time to time. Just don't have to feel it. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time?
God is good.
Let's do that again. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time?
God is good.
Now, my friends, that proclamation reflects exactly what Paul is saying here. Grace to you and peace. The good God that we have and worship and serve gave His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, so that we can have grace and peace. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is a different gospel, but there are some who are troubling you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Ooh. I am astonished, Paul says, that you are so quickly deserting, running away from, turning away from the one God Himself who called you
in Christ Jesus. I'm astonished, Paul says, that you're turning away from Him and accepting this other gospel, which really isn't a gospel. The word gospel means good news. And grace and peace in Jesus Christ our Lord is good news. Adding something to it, like works for salvation or sanctification in this case, ain't good news. To use good old Southern country English, ain't good news. And he says, I am astonished, perplexed, bewildered, stunned, that you're so quickly turning away from this good news to this so-called supposed good news, which really isn't good news. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Pervert. How many of us are sometimes tempted to follow a perverted gospel? Oh yes, salvation comes by grace through faith. But if you really have it, brother, you won't get tattooed. Salvation comes by grace through faith. But if you really have it, brother, you won't get all them piercings. Ooh, I hate tattoos and I hate piercings. But friends, tattooing and piercing, there's lots of Old Testament about it. But it doesn't have anything more than a bowl of cherries to do with one's salvation. If salvation comes by grace through faith, it doesn't speak to our eternal state. But if you've really got it, I don't care. When you start adding the "if you've really got it" line to the gospel of grace and peace, you end up perverting the gospel. These Jewish Christians, who Paul's going to talk about here in his letter that we're going to look at over the next couple of weeks, these Judaizing Christians, these brethren of James, who thought circumcision and dietary regulations and how you dressed and how you acted and how you planted in your fields and how you built your house and all that stuff from the Old Testament, they believed it was important. My friends, they were perverting the gospel of Christ. They were perverts for Jesus. Some of you look shocked. Well, they were. I mean, this is a perverted gospel they're preaching. That's what Paul says. I'm shocked that you're willing to turn to them who want to pervert the gospel of Christ. They were perverts, perverting the gospel. But even if we, or an angel, did he have a mouse in his pocket or something? We? Yeah, well, he was talking about himself and those who are with him. Even if we, or an angel from heaven, should proclaim to you a gospel contrary to what we proclaim to you, let that one be accursed. Now the word here is anathema in Greek, and it means, I'm going to use a word that when I was little, Mom said, don't ever use that word. But my friends, the meaning of that word anathema is damned. Eternally judged. I liked your translation that was read in today. What is that translation? New International did it well. Eternally condemned. Yep. Eternally condemned. If we or an angel of heaven, huh? Yeah. If I come to you and start preaching this other gospel, a gospel other than the one that I preached to you when I was with you, or if an angel comes from heaven and starts preaching some other gospel, let that one be accursed, condemned eternally. And I guess Paul realized that that would be something of a shock to them because he repeats himself. I'm not the only preacher friend who says things two and three times, okay? Amen. Thank you. As we have said before, so now I repeat. If anyone proclaims to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let that one be accursed. Paul, writing to the Galatians, is trying to rescue. This is a rescue letter, friends. This letter to the Galatians is a letter of rescue to a church, to churches that Paul had founded, churches of Gentiles who had received the gospel of grace and peace, received the message of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and now his ministry there is being followed up on by Jewish Christians, by the brethren of James, by the Judaizing Christians who are coming in and saying, you Gentiles are welcome, but now that you're in, you've got to become Jews. If you really accept Jesus, you've got to get circumcised, men. If you really accept Jesus, you've got to change your diet, ladies. If you really accept Jesus, you'll do this other stuff, too. And Paul calls that a perverted gospel. My friends, are we ever tempted to follow a perverted gospel? Sometimes I am. When I get away from that core truth that salvation comes by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, I end up perverting the gospel of Christ. Next couple of Sundays, we're going to look at what Paul said to the Galatians, how Paul helped to negotiate them around this terrible problem, and look at how he described both his entry into ministry and one of the major conflicts that occurred early on in the church over the issue related to circumcision of the dietary regulations. But today I want to simply close with this. Are we wanting to live and follow the gospel of Jesus Christ, or a gospel that has been perverted, which is not a gospel? It's not good news. Are we wanting to follow a message that isn't good news, or are we ready and willing to follow the message of grace and peace? I hope that you will be with me in being willing and ready to receive Christ's unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor and the cessation, the end of the warfare, the end of againstness with God our Father that Christ Jesus offers to us. My friends, let us not follow a perverted gospel. Let us follow the gospel of Jesus Christ.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, senior pastor of First United Methodist Church of Sigelville, Texas, and rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 101 South Kaufman Street, Sigelville, Texas, 75159. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.